Truth is, and I was talking to, I can't remember who it was this morning, but I was talking with someone this morning, the place where I feel the most nervous is here. Because I'm looking out at those who raised me, those who prayed for me, those who commended me, and it's just an honor to be in front of you today. So, let's talk a little bit about Mexico, and Lord willing, if I have a little bit of time, I'd like to also open the Word. So, most everybody should know where I am, where Sarah and I will be, and that's Ensenada. Ensenada is a port city just south of Tijuana, which I'll show you where that is in a moment. But there's a lot of tourism there. There's, I think, three universities there. And this is downtown Ensenada. We're actually 30, 45 minutes from this area of the picture that I'm showing. But they have beautiful beaches, and there's even this, I don't think it's in this picture, but there are times when these huge cruise ships comes in as well. And I think I heard news about that they're thinking of actually starting a Walt Disney World in Ensenada, which that would be really spectacular if they did that for the jobs and everything there. But where is Ensenada? Some of you know already. Ensenada is right there, just south of Tijuana, and it's about 2 hours from San Diego. And that's where Sarah and I will be, and that's where I've been the last 2 years. Now, you may be wondering, well, what does the area look like where you're staying, and do you have a place for Sarah to stay? Is she going to be living in a pup tent somewhere? No. We have a place to stay, and if you just walked out and turned right, this is what you would see. And you can see kind of in the distance, it's kind of hard to see in the picture, but there's the ocean. You can see it from there, from where we'll be staying. It takes still about 30 minutes to get to the ocean from where we're at, but that's the area. It's a very poor area. Most people who are there work in the farms surrounding the area, which probably pays about $100 a week. And things aren't any cheaper in Mexico. Actually, they have an even higher tax rate than they do here. And it's they have a really messed up economy, actually. This is the assembly that we're serving in, Cañón Buenavista. The area is actually called Cañón Buenavista, so it's called Iglesia Cañón Buenavista. And these are a group of the kids that I play soccer with every Tuesday and Thursdays, whom I have mentioned before. One of the guys I'd like to mention, and actually, tonight, if you're not going to take notes, if you could scribble down some names or some prayer requests that I'm going to mention, starting now, some prayer requests. One of them is for a young man named Juan Ochoa. Juan is about 17, 18 years old. He's almost done with high school. He's one of the maybe 10, 15 guys who comes and plays soccer. But once in a while, since I've been gone the longest I've ever been away from Mexico, and really missed there. But he keeps on asking me, oh, what have you guys been doing? How are you guys going? We've been going all right down here. It's been raining. We wish you were here to play soccer. We miss you and stuff like that. And it's just neat to just be able to have this interaction with this guy. None of the guys still who go to this soccer ministry are saved. None of them go to church. Many of them, I believe, went to the Awana program when they were little, and now they've outgrown the Awana program. And so this is just a really neat opportunity that I continue to have to impact the lives of these young men. Well, really young kids. And every Thursday I share an evangelistic message with them. I've invited them to church. I talk about Christ with them. I'm very open about my faith. I've even invited them to my house to play video games and just to continue that relationship. But my prayer request for Juan and for all the soccer guys is for fruit in their lives, to see that Christ, that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives in some way, and for them to be saved as well. I don't know if I'll ever, while I'm there, be able to see this, but my prayer is that one day every single one of those guys will be in a church and seeking the Lord and serving Him. So please be in continued prayer for the soccer ministry, but especially for that one, Juan. He's the only guy from the soccer ministry, and I have some of them on my Facebook, but he's the only one who has actually messaged me since I've been gone. So I left here with Sarah Jane. We went back to Mexico, and she left just a few days after that, I believe in June. And so what did I do during the summer before I went back in October to see Sarah? Well, one of the things that we have is every year, and I think they've been doing it for about 10, 12, maybe more years, coming down to this church plant, a group from California comes down, and they, at first they only did some work projects for the church itself, and then they branched off and they started doing some things for the community and the church. And last year, I believe, was the first time that they actually only were doing things for the saints at the chapel there. This year, they were able to paint a house that they built last year. I was amazed of how much they did, actually. They did three things. This was the smallest group that they've ever had, I believe. And they did more than they did last year, which it was crazy. But it was great. They painted a house of one of the saints that they built last year. They built a two-room apartment, basically, for two of the youth from the church. And they also built another room for one of the children of the church. So that was a lot of work, but they did it all. Plus, we also took a trip to Kamalu, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But these guys have been coming down every single year for about 10, 12 years, as I said, and they're not planning on stop coming. I actually received an email just a few weeks ago about them starting to sign up people, and the leader of the group asked me how's things going down there, and I know he's going to be coming down to check out the situation and see what can they do this year. So we're really excited about them coming down and everything that they do, and also it was neat being able to tell them that I'm going to be married, and they can't wait to meet Sarah, and that's going to be exciting too. We went down, and this is the second year they've done this. It's a place called Kamalu. And this is a place that Sarah and I may have some contact with while we're in Ensenada. It's actually, I looked it up today, I thought it was only like about an hour or so away from Ensenada. It's actually about two hours from where we'll be staying. But this place is in great need for help. It's gone through church splits, it's gone through tons of different problems, and they really don't have any leaders except one leader who's the acting pastor there right now and his wife. And they need help with music, they need help with kids ministry, they need just as much help as they can get. And they've actually requested help from the assemblies in Ensenada for help, and some have been, I believe one of them has been sending groups now and then to help them with some activities. And so what the group did is we went down and they came to help us, but we decided to go and help Kamalu with this group. And so we did basically a short little Awana program with some of the games that they do. We also had a time of like a little mini VBS for the kids. And what was really cool is the girl on the behind the girl in the red, she is only, I believe, 18 or 19 years old, and she took on the entire VBS, both in Ensenada and in Kamalu. And that was her first time doing it, and she just did a beautiful job doing that. And so we did a mini VBS, and it doesn't look like this room is packed, but actually when all the kids got in there, you could not move in this room. There were so many kids, and it was so loud. And so I translated for her as she taught the lesson and the verse and whatnot. We also had people from the chapel in Ensenada come down, and they cooked a meal that we served to everybody. First, we invited the kids to come and said the adults are going to come later. And then when the adults came, we fed everybody a meal. And then this is actually Jose. He came down, so we had the youth there. We had basically everybody who's involved in the assembly there came down and helped out, along with the group that came from California. And then there was an evangelistic message given. The one who's heading it up, he's the one who's up there preaching the gospel. And then the other picture to the bottom left is some of the group and some other adults who are standing there. So it's just a beautiful time going to Kamalu. And so I just wanted to mention Kamalu. Be in prayer for Sarah and I as we seek the Lord's direction and how we can serve in Kamalu, the things that we'll be doing as well in the assembly in Ensenada. There's a need for evangelism right now, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that too in a little bit. But that was only 1 week, so what else did I do during that summer? Well, I wanted to show you this really cool picture. I don't know, has any of you been to Mexico City? A couple of you. Wow, that's a lot. A lot more than I thought. Well, I had never been there, and I had a layover in Mexico City on my way to Querétaro. And I always heard it was this huge city, and I was like, okay, I want to see this from the plane before we land. And I was just waiting and waiting. I saw the towns getting closer and closer together, and I was like, well, this is it. This isn't. I've seen bigger than this. And then all of a sudden, the plane tipped its wings, and I saw this. And I couldn't believe it. I had never seen anything so big in my life. The only thing I could come even close in comparison was the Grand Canyon, but it was bigger than that. It was as far as the eye could see. I couldn't believe that it was just so big. And so I just wanted to share that picture with all of you because it was amazing to me. But I went down to Querétaro because Sarah and I still have this desire to plant churches in a very needy state called Jalisco in Mexico. But we're also looking for contacts, and I met somebody who knows somebody else who's also planting churches in Jalisco. And so I went there to help him with an English camp that they have. And at this English camp, they actually, they charge for this English camp, but the reason is to give it validity where it is, but also because they work with in a medium to high income area in Querétaro. And so these kids, most of them actually knew some English or were kind of proficient in English, and they came to learn more English. And so what they do is they have people come from America to help with the camps so that there's people speaking English the whole time with the kids so that it's an English camp. And so we start out, we have some games, and this is part of the English teaching. And where we had it was in this really nice hotel. And so their snacks weren't like fishy crackers. It was like really nice stuff. I'd never had snacks that nice in my life for just kids. They had a pool. And what was another really cool part is I believe it was 2 days they had music part of the camp. And they just took all, like you had groups of maybe 6, 7, or 8 kids. And they put a guitar in the hands of every single one of these kids who had never played an instrument before. And just taught them a chord to see what they could learn. In just about an hour. Taught them percussion instruments as well. Which is really neat. I'd never seen that before. Just putting an instrument in a kid's hand and be like, all right, this is how you do it. And you could immediately pick out the ones who were starting to pick it up already. And that was just a neat experience as well. And of course, we also had the Bible taught and the gospel brought out. I believe he also taught about he taught about the Bible and how this is the Word of God and explaining the importance of God's Word to these children. And this is just the way that they reach out to their community. They also do other English camps in more needy areas as well. And it's just a really neat ministry that I got to be part of for 1 week in Querétaro. And after that, shortly thereafter, we also had a camp for the youth in Mexico. Now about, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I handed out some bookmarks, and I could never remember the word for that, but I finally remembered that word, bookmarks, with the names of all of the youth on it. And some of you are shaking your hands like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Some of you are like, I have no clue what you're saying. But some of you may even still have that bookmark saved somewhere. And as I've been going to different churches and things, people have come up and say, how's this person doing? How's this person doing? And so I'd like to go over just a few of the names of these youth who were at this camp, and the camp was really about getting refocused on what it means to be a Christian, being refocused that we are more than conquerors together in Christ Jesus, and that there's more that we should be living for than just going through the motions of just living our life, however, that we should live our life like believers. And so this was, I believe, the last night, and we have Chuy, or Jesus, Chuy. And it was really neat. Last year, started giving him discipleship courses and then started teaching him how to take the Word of God and really study it word by word. And then later I started giving him this other course. course of how to take that knowledge and then start preaching it. And he has begun on our prayer meetings once a month to actually take God's word and teach it. He still has a long way to go as far as being very smooth in everything he says, but nobody, and even myself, I was terrible at the beginning, but he's doing really, really good, and this is his desire. One Sunday, Ruben, he was talking about your gifts and that you receive in the Spirit, and since we have a smaller congregation, he's able to actually get down and ask individuals questions, and he asked Chewy, what do you think the Lord has gifted you, and what do you want to strive to grow in your walk and in your giftedness? And he said, I want to preach more. And that was just really neat to hear that, because when I first started in Ensenada, Chewy wasn't even sure if he wanted to stay at the assembly there. He wasn't sure what he was going to do, and his girlfriend wasn't saved. Prior to him being saved, they had a relationship, and that was kind of the reason why he was having a hard time deciding. And now he wants to preach. And that's just really neat to be able to see that slow transformation over these couple of years. Larissa, I asked prayer for about a year ago. I asked that you would pray for her salvation. And I am very happy to say she is saved. She's been baptized. And she's serving the Lord, and just seeing a slow transformation of her attitude and her willingness to serve even more has just been great to watch that happen as well. I'd like to mention that both Chewy and Larissa, both of them, they're the only ones who are saved in their families. Be in prayer for their families that they will come to know the Lord as well. Larissa, I would like to ask a special request for her. At this time, both of her parents have moved. She is from a separated home, but both of her parents, her mom and her dad, moved to America. And I don't know if that's legal or illegal, but that doesn't matter. The fact is that they're not there, and she still needs to finish high school. I believe they've started school again, and I don't know where she's staying. I don't know how all that's working out right now. But be in prayer for Larissa and the decisions of her life, of what she's going to do. She's going to go to university in Mexico. She's going to go live in the States. She has some big decisions to make in her life, and be in prayer for her for that. Because those decisions are also going to affect her life spiritually, because we don't know, since her parents aren't saved, we don't know where there's a church nearby or how she's going to be fed spiritually. So, Esmeralda, and I got a story about Esmeralda. She's doing well. She continues to study God's word, continues to pray, and it's just really neat. Every Sunday, or almost every Sunday, I ask her, what are you learning in God's word? And we share a little bit about what we're learning in God's word and just encouraging her to continue to read God's word. But something about Esmeralda, she's on the far right in this picture. Esmeralda, she has always desired, and she also is the only one who's saved in her family as well. And Esmeralda has always desired and has been praying that her parents would come to church. A big deal for Latinos, and most of you probably know, is their 15th birthday party. It's huge. Big deal for them. And she wanted to have this great big 15th birthday party. They don't have a lot of money. She knew that, but she invited the whole church on a particular said day to celebrate her 15th birthday. Well, we didn't know if she was planning on having it at the church or if she was planning on having it at her place. We didn't know. So the Sunday before, because it was going to be the next Sunday, her father came to the church and was talking to Ruben and said, I don't think we're going to be able to have this. We don't have money for food. We don't know what to do. He said, okay, we're going to have it here, and we'll provide the food. You just bring Coca-Cola. Just bring some Coke. And so that's what we did. And one of the youth, Alondra, she decorated the church and made it really pretty inside. And we had the food, and I believe one of the members actually prepared the food that morning. And so everything was set. We had service as usual in the morning, and then in the afternoon we had her 15th birthday party. And if you could imagine, three rows were filled with her family while we had her 15th birthday party, and Ruben mentioned, this has been her prayer, that they would be at church, and here they are at church. The Lord does answer prayer. And that was just something beautiful to see, the Lord confirming his goodness in Esmeralda's life, but also to everybody, that prayer does work. Continue to pray for her family, that they will be saved as well. I'd like to mention Edgar, that's Ruben's son. He's doing well as also, and I would like to mention that this is a church plant that has been a church plant for, I think, about 14, 15 years or so. And why has it been a church plant for so long? Well, when only Ruben and Edgar and his son and his daughter-in-law and his wife show up and there's no one else there, you begin to think, should we really keep this thing going? And that's happened a few times to them. And Edgar's been witness to that. And every time Ruben has said, you know, I can't leave because I just feel that the Lord's telling me I'm supposed to keep preaching the gospel in this place. And so they've kept the doors open and they have continued at this place in Canyon Buenavista. I'd like to mention Alondra, Jose, Oliver, they're all, it's brother, two brothers and sister, Jose and Oliver, they're twins. Alondra, she is serving like crazy at the church. She'll, anything you say, can we have help with this, she'll say yes, they'll help with this. She's doing really well. Jose and Oliver, sometimes they're doing, following the Lord closely, sometimes they're not. They take turns, it almost seems like, being twins. But I would like to request prayer for them. Their mother is saved, their father is not. And right now it's kind of a strange situation of where it's one property and you have two houses and also the two rooms for the twins that the group built this summer. And the father and the mother were never officially married, but they have separated. And the father is alcoholic, very violent, very verbal with his kids. And we're praying for his salvation and also the safety of Alondra, Jose, and Oliver. Days before I went to Australia, I witnessed some of that violence myself, and it's sad to see. He has great kids, kids that love the Lord, and he really doesn't treat them right, especially when he's on his drink. And so please be in prayer for this family. Lastly, I wanted to mention Ruben and Julie, the ones who are leading the youth, and their little son Esteban, which is also my name in Spanish, Esteban. Please be in prayer for them. Esteban was having lots of, about the time when I left last year, and about a month into that, he was having lots of physical problems. They were giving him really heavy, strong drugs, and it was affecting his throat area, and they actually have thought that they might have to go in and do surgery, remove something inside that has been affected. Currently, he's doing very well, praise the Lord. They're not sure if they're going to have to do surgery or not at this point, no. But please be in prayer for them as they went through a really tough time there last year, and for the health of Esteban, their son. So, I wanted to just give you one story to kind of give you an idea of what it's like in the area that Sarah and I will be serving in, and maybe this will help you in how you can pray for us. I've mentioned once already for fruit for the soccer ministry, and I just want to ask you to pray for fruit in general. In this area of where we'll be serving in Ensenada, I said that there's a need for evangelism. There is a need for evangelism, yes, but there's a need for wisdom of how to evangelize there, not because we're going to be persecuted in a particular way or anything or rejected. The problem is everybody's heard. Everybody's heard there. Probably every single one of them has been to some sort of evangelistic meeting somewhere, because if you have any sort of free giveaway, everybody's there. Everybody's heard. And even those who are saved, their knowledge of Scripture is so poor. Ruben told me one time that he went to this particular house of these people that came to the chapel one day, and they said, we'd like to receive discipleship? Would I like to be baptized? He said, okay. So went to their house, visited them, and started going through what it means to be saved and everything. And yes, they were saved. And he said, have you been baptized? They said, yes. And he was like, well, then why do you need to be baptized again? And little by little, you learn they don't know what's in here. And it's because they've been going from place to place to place to place, and they've never had their roots really deep down in Scripture. And their faith is not well established. And this is a story that I'd like to mention. Cristian and Rosario. Some of you may have even received the bookmark with Rosario's name on it because she's one of the youth from the church. I did not know this because I was very new, and I don't know if anyone else knew, but Cristian and Rosario knew each other for years and years and years. Well, they decided to start living together. I think this happened just before I started, just before I came here to see all of you guys. They started living together, and because of that, I found out that they are both saved, and the Holy Spirit started moving in their hearts. You know, this isn't right. But they probably felt like it was the church who was rejecting them, and so they left the church. Continually living together, but they left the church. When I returned to Ensenada, they came back to the church a couple weeks later, and they said, you know, we want to do things right. We want to follow the Lord. We want to be baptized. We want to get married. We want to do what's right. That sounds great. And so Ruben said, Stephen, I need you to do discipleship with them, get them ready for baptism, and just kind of take them on. And I was like, I'd love to. I was already trying to reach out to Christian because he, very quiet young man, and was having a hard time really meeting people at the chapel there. And so that was a great opportunity, and started having discipleship with them every single week, going through Scripture, explaining things to them. And they had a date to get married, and everything was looking great. And this is actually in the house that Sarah and I will be staying at, and that's where Christian proposed to her. And that was just a beautiful thing to be a part of that. And so things looked great. Well, I left in October. I believe they were planning on getting married in December. They were actually planning to get married before Sarah and I. And I kept on joking, oh, you're going to get married before I do and all this, and found out they decided not to get married in December. They were going to get married later, possibly. And then I found out that they left the church for whatever reasons. And that's just kind of, and right now they're technically attending a church, but I believe Rosario is working on Sundays until she's unable to go to church. And so this is the cycle that we continuously see in this area. And that's why it's hard for them to have their faith established, is it's not. For example, I can talk to somebody and say, you know, this is what God's word says. You need to go to church. You need to be fed well. You need to be growing. Or whatever I say, they'll be like, Stephen, you are right. You are so right. And then a week later, you're like, didn't you hear anything I just said? Because they just keep not taking it seriously, their souls and their growth. And so please be in prayer for Christian and Rosario, for their growth in the Lord as well. But just be in prayer that we will see fruit in Canyon Buena Vista in general, and that the Lord will give us wisdom of how to reach out to this group of people, that this is just the way that they have been, generations have been living like this, that we'll know how to reach out to them and see fruit, and not just fruit, but as Christ said, fruit that remains. That is what we want to see in Canyon Buena Vista. So in my time in Australia, Sarah and I had opportunity to go to, I believe it was four churches we were able to go to and share the ministry, and I believe even two assemblies within those four churches, and that was really awesome, and even two nursing homes as well of sharing. And it was just really neat being able to even be a part of the visiting ministry that her mother's a part of at their church. Just being involved in just a completely different, not completely different, but a different culture in different ways. And even their church came around us and prayed for us to send us off as a couple. And for me, this was a very, very special day because I said, this is like uniting two bodies of believers that are across oceans that are focused on the same thing. They want to see Sarah and myself serving the Lord, reaching out to souls, seeing people saved, growing in the Lord. They're both coming together in prayer for us. It was just a really neat moment. Well, I've mentioned some of these already, some of our dreams that we would wish to do. Both Sarah and I, we've taken courses of teaching English as a second language, and we would like to use that in Ensenada. Also be in prayer for Sarah's Spanish. I believe she even mentioned that during the ladies' meeting, but she is learning un poco de español y va a aprender más y más. And this may or may not be on hold. I'm talking to Ruben just a few weeks ago, but it's still in our prayers to perhaps start a daycare in that community through the church. It is needed because if the father's working, the mother does want to be working to make ends meet. And if you can imagine only making $100 a week if you're working in the fields, that's not going to put enough food on the in the home, plus the electrical bill, and plus anything else that they're having to pay for. And so a daycare where they could send their kids would be a great thing for the church to be able to help out the community. But we're also thinking of focusing on evangelism as well. So be in prayer for this possibility to start a daycare for the working mothers in Cañon Buena Vista. We want to continue working with Ruben and with evangelism, with discipleship, with anything else that the church is needing. And Sarah, her desire is to be able to reach out to the women who are around in the area. And that's another reason why she needs to be learning Spanish, which she is doing, and she's doing very well. But continue to pray for her that she will be able to be fluent enough to reach out to these women in the area. And also, as I've mentioned, our desire is still to plant churches in unreached areas in Mexico. And I've shown this before, but if you look at this map of Mexico, in the area between, there's two red states, and then there's a purple state in the middle. It's hard to point to when it's that far away, but it's Jalisco. Guadalajara is the capital of Jalisco, which you may have heard of Guadalajara. But in this area, there's whole communities that there is no church. No church to speak of at all. I'm not talking about an assembly, I'm just saying a church. An evangelical church that believes what God's word says. And our desire is to, as the Lord leads, is to go to Jalisco or an area like Jalisco that needs a church, a place to be a light in the darkness. Well, I do have a few more minutes, which I'm glad of, so I can open God's word and share with you something that was a desire of Sarah's heart that she prayed for. She said she started praying that the Lord would give her a missionary who loved to teach and wanted to plant churches. And one of my first emails to Sarah, I said, well, she already knew I was a missionary. And I said, there's something you have to know about me. I love to teach God's word. And whenever I have an opportunity to share, I know everybody wants to see the pictures and everyone wants to hear what's going on in Mexico, and that's great. But this is what I love to do more than anything else. My first sermon I heard here when I came back, I believe it was my first sermon, was Ronnie Murdoch when he was sharing about prayer. And I was like, oh no, he's going to steal my sermon from me. But he didn't. But he took it from Luke, for the same reasons that I'm going to take mine from Luke. Because Luke is about the perfect man, and the perfect man had this need to pray. And I took Luke and just started looking at all these different things that we can learn about the man of prayer. And this, what I want to share with you tonight, is just a small portion of what we can learn about the man of prayer. And this is his attitude when he was praying. And this should be our attitude when we pray as well. If you can look up Luke 11:5-10. Luke 11:5-10 says, "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. When Christ prayed, he prayed to God as if God was his friend. He prayed to him persistently, asking as if he was asking help of a friend. And that's how we should pray, persistently. And it even in this one, it says ask, seek, and knock. In the Greek, that's in the plural, asking, seeking, knocking. Continuously doing it. And so when we pray, we should pray persistently, as if asking a friend for help. But that was not his only attitude when he was praying. There was another. And it's just the next few verses down, Luke 11:11-13. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, I'd like to take a moment and brag about my father, my dad. My dad, I felt, could fix anything growing up. If there was anything broken, he'd fix it. And I even have memories of him sometimes even walking through the halls of the chapel and be like, "There's a light out. I'll fix that." Always fixing things. And I remember as a child, if I had a broken toy, whether I broke it or if it just had broken for some reason, I had faith that if I brought this toy to my father, he would fix it. You see, I expected something good to happen. I didn't think he'd take that toy and then like start yelling at me for having break in it. I didn't have fear that he'd just take the toy and throw it in the trash can. I expected something good to happen with that toy. I thought it would be fixed because he's my father and he loves me, and I know that that's what my dad does. And that's what our attitude should be when we're praying to our Heavenly Father. We should be expecting something good. Because no father, if his son asks for a fish, is he going to give him a scorpion? He's going to give him what he asked for, even maybe something better than what he asked. And so when we pray, we should pray expecting good things. Pray expectantly for good things as if requesting something of our Father. And Christ, when he mentioned this, he tried to come up with the best example. What was the greatest thing that the Father could give? We do have salvation. But he said at the very end of this passage, in verse 13, "How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Why did he use the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit teaches us what the Father is like. He gives us power to be like him. Through him we can cry, "Abba, Father," or "Daddy." He is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of life in Christ, the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of glory. He's the Comforter Christ left, the power the disciples waited for and acts, and the one through whom, if we walk in him, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the Holy Spirit that Christ says, this is what the Father wants to give you. A Chinese pastor was visiting the U.S., and his friend brought him to all these grand churches. And after the little tour that they took of seeing all these huge and beautiful churches, the Chinese pastor was asked by his friend, "What did you think of the churches. And he said, I'm amazed of how much American churches can do without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great gift that God has given us. And that's the example that Christ wanted to use, that if you ask the Father something, you should expect something good, not something evil. We fear asking for patience because we're wondering, what is the Lord going to do to us to give me patience? Or, Lord, I need to be humble more. And we fear, what is he going to do to me so that I'm more humble? The Lord does good things. And when we pray to him, we should be expecting something good because he is good. I'm reminded even of creation. Is there anything that he said that's not good? No. He created and he said, that is good. And that is good. And of his whole creation, this is very good, because a good God does good things. So when we pray, pray as if expecting something good from your Father. With the last couple of minutes, I'd like to just talk about the last way, the last attitude that Christ had. He prayed to God as if praying to a friend, persistently. Prayed to a Father expecting something good. But he also prayed as if talking to a judge. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm glad that I have not had the experience of being in front of a judge. Because when the judge says what he says, his sentence at the end, that's it. That's the law. That's what's going to happen. So is God. And we ought to come to him as he is, the sovereign Lord of all creation. What he says will happen. But we must not lose heart, and we must have faith. And it's hard. Just as the youth in Ensenada, most of them have unsaved loved ones, or their whole family doesn't know the Lord, and they're kind of on their own, and if it wasn't for the church in Cañon Buena Vista, they would be on their own. They're still praying. Esmeralda saw something that we thought would never happen. Her family and even extended family there at church. Continue praying. Don't lose heart. I know there's things that we're all praying for, whether it's an unsaved loved one, someone who's walking away from the Lord, a hard situation, whatever it is, we aren't to lose heart. We're to have faith. Persistently pray and know that as a Father, he will do something good. And it will be for our benefit and for his glory. So, when we pray, we should pray as if praying to a friend, persistently asking. We should pray to a Father, knowing that he will do something good. Pray to a judge, the sovereign, but not lose heart. Have faith. And with that, let us pray. Father, I thank you so much that you have given us the gift of prayer. That despite our rejection of you through our father Adam, that you did not sever our communication with you. but by your grace, you have given us means by which, through your Holy Spirit, to continue to communicate to this Father who loves us. I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight and myself that we will be more persistent in our prayers, that we will not lose heart, that we'll have faith, that you will hear us and that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because that's what you do, because you're God Almighty. Continuously be glorified through all of us here in North Carolina and those in Ensenada and all your saints around the world. May you receive praise that you deserve. In Jesus' name.